Welcome to the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, Yoakum and Rockport edition. We should have really clear audio now, Randy, because we're what, an hour and 20 minutes apart from each other?
That's right. We're doing this on a can with a string line between us.
We've always done that metaphorically, but now we might actually be doing that. So I am in Texas. I'm going to be going to the Texas Tech game, visiting my family in Austin, but we drove down to Rockport, passed through Randy's great hometown, that area, Cuero, Yoakum, all that good stuff. I stopped. I laid a wreath at the Randy Boone statue in the Yoakum Town Square. Stopped at a Sephora and a Lululemon right next door.
Yeah, I think they're building them.
Yep, I think
yeah. my wife's on the EDC. I'm sure she'll have a report on those moving in soon.
That's awesome. Hey man, I got to tell you, I was talking to my sister about this as I was driving down. I was like, my blood pressure drops about 10 points just entering this part of Texas. It's a little slower. People waving at you as you pass them. People yep. going way over on the one lane roads, like almost hitting mailboxes to let you over. You're like, hey man, I got it. Thank you. Yeah. You're extra nice. Yeah, but
they're like, no,
we're good. They're like, no.
So I used to think that they were extra nice. I think they're just that worried that you're an idiot.
You're going
to
hit them.
Yeah. Because my dad does that. My dad's that guy that like pulls over on the shoulder if anybody passes you on a highway.
So but, we're driving
yeah,
up.
It is definitely a much different style down here for sure.
Yeah. Well, just laid back, friendly. We're driving and we realize we're behind a guy who blows his back trailer tire on his boat as he's pulling it in his big truck, his big dually. And so we're in a one lane road. We can't tell him, but we're also kind of keeping our distance in case his trailer spins out and his boat decides to deposit itself on the highway. And we do get up to a two lane and we rushed up there and I'm like motioning at him. And at first he's just waving at me really big. Yeah, like,
hey man, what's going on?
So
you happy for Thanksgiving too? Me I too, know. Man. I'm yeah. excited.
Hey, it's fun. We're both driving on a road. And so I like do like window down and I did the old, to show my age, I did the old fashioned, like roll down your window, like in a circular motion.
Oh, like somebody under, knows what that is now.
Yeah. Anyone under 40 is going to look at me like, what is this? Is he churning butter? But this guy finally rolls down his window. I was like, hey man, your back rear trailer tire blew on the highway. And he's like, oh, okay. And then so he starts to slow down. He speeds up again and he goes, thank you. I was like, I missed
it. I didn't get his number. I can't text him later.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't like throw his phone in my window. I'm like, hey man, text me your number so I can send you a card to thank you for telling me about my blowout.
That's sounds about right.
Yeah, my blood pressure goes down when I'm here. Rockport doesn't hurt either, where you come out and it's
no, being on the coast is pretty good. It's a pretty good antidote.
Late November, high 70s. Son and I go out on a pier and catch some fish. It's not bad for the old soul.
It kind of sucks that it's, you know, football season and hunting season and all the other things that I like to do, because the fall is my favorite time to be at the coast. It's not as crowded, and most of the time, like you said, it's, you know, it's not freezing. It's pretty good weather. Can barbecue at night. You ain't worried about it being 110 degrees or whatever, but no, it's a good time of year to be on that on that side of the state for sure.
For sure. All right. Well, it was pretty crowded in Ames, Iowa the other night. And all those Iowans, the salt of the earth, Randy, they went home sad because the Texas Longhorns came in and put a double digit win on them. And I think they were primed for the upset. A lot of people were primed for the upset. A lot of people in Vegas were picking the upset, or at least a cover for Iowa State. Didn't happen. Texas can't say they played a complete game or a perfect game, but they played enough game. And I thought the team competed really hard. And I thought, frankly, I'm kind of curious on your thoughts. I didn't really bounce this off you, but I thought Sark played a great game. Called a great game, I should say. I just thought there wasn't execution in the first half of good calls.
Well, first of all, it didn't look that crowded of a stadium when we were seeing the Eyes of Texas at the end. It looked like there was about a couple thousand Texas fans, and everybody else had hit the exits to go to Council Bluffs or
Council
wherever they drown their
Bluffs.
sorrows up there, which was lovely to see.
That
But
was
no, I
cool.
agree with you. I think Sark was on point from the beginning, and executionally, we kind of let him down early, but sort of figured it out. I thought you nailed it on yours getting a little happy feet and panicking, self-sacking, whatever the term you want to use is. But he settled down, played well later, and I thought early he just kind of locked onto a guy and didn't move down his progressions. I don't know what the play calls are. I'm not privy to any of that, but I mean, there's check downs built into the offense. Like, you can throw a 4 yard pass, it's fine. You don't have to take a 5 yard loss. It's no big deal. I mean, if you miss two open receivers and get 5 yards on the play, that's a positive thing for the offense. But if you miss two open receivers and take a 6 yard loss for no reason. And I will say this, I do appreciate him getting down and not taking hits unnecessarily, but I just took him. It took him a lot longer than I thought it should have to kind of settle in. And maybe Sark and Milwee at halftime sort of clued him in on some stuff or whatever. But it just sort of took him a bit to get going.
Yeah, I actually thought he got his rhythm at the end of the first half.
100%, he did. That
And that
drive at the end of the first half was money.
it was.
Obviously, were worthy fumbles, and we don't capitalize, but you still saw a lot of positives there. Once we, I'm probably in the minority on this, but once we took the lead at 6-3, I really didn't have a whole lot of concerns other than us playing to a standard, which I'm not sure we did 100%, but we did it a lot better than we had been.
I didn't have a huge concern after the nine play 91-yard touchdown drive
Yeah.
because I knew I was like, all right, look, I know our defense is going to do its second half thing where the other team's quarterback looks like Brett
Oh,
Favre.
absolutely. Yeah. And immediately on cue, we did
Yes, but I knew right then our offense was right. Sark was feeling it, and we were going to score enough points, so it wasn't going to matter. And I felt confident. I got to praise yours. I mean, you and I were always kind of like an eyebrow raised at the people assuring us he's a first, a high first round draft pick. And you and I would always kind of look at each other like, okay,
Yeah.
not seeing it, but interesting. I will say this, twice now in big games and tough environments, I've seen Ewers start bad. And instead of spiraling, he grabbed his nuts, steadied himself, and then elevated. And he did it against OU, and he did it in Iowa against Iowa State and Ames the other night.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I've always run into with my opinions on it is, what do you see this throw? I'm like, yeah, I did. It's amazing. You put him on a 7-7 field, the dude can do anything in the world, but he's slow to move on from progressions at times. He self sacks, like you mentioned, and there's some times where you're just really not sure. But I thought in this game, for the start that he got off to, that what he did in the second half was pretty damn impressive, honestly. I mean, that's not a easy defense to go against. And I mean, he sliced him up in the second half, had some patience on some developing routes. There was a crosser there that, you kind of saw it from the TV angle. Like, hey, if he lets this go, he'll be open over here on the near sideline. And man, like I said, I was impressed. It was a very, very good turnaround from where he started, because that's a tough thing to do. I mean, you get off to a bad start as a quarterback, especially under the microscope that you are at Texas, just sort of letting everything flow by and turning the game around completely. I mean, completely turning the game around is a pretty impressive deal.
Agreed. Yeah, one thing that I thought was interesting is you look at the X's and O's of football, you look at all that. There is an element of the old high school football coach red ass to football, which is want to. And you saw it with our offensive line. They didn't really block very well against TCU in the running game just a week ago. And TCU's front personnel were inferior to Iowa State's. But
yes, 100%. Yep.
In Ames, these guys came out and I thought played one of the more complete games as the offensive line has played, both run blocking and pass blocking. I thought they got after it. And interestingly, no Jonathan Brooks. Maybe that's because there was no Jonathan Brooks. Maybe it was stressed to them like, hey, you've got to give our back something. We don't have Brooks. You've got to bring it. And, you know, maybe it was an extension of the sense that the feeling that Iowa State had kind of called out Texas in general, not just their guard pop. Why on earth would you, like, if I was in my old boxing days, what would possess me to pop off to like one of the pro fighters before we spar?
So there's been a,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Like some people mentioned that may have been like a Campbell plant. Like he would have went to him and had to, there's no chance. Like that dude did that on his own, and why he did it, I mean, I guess his name's out there now for better or for worse, but
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if you gave me a, I mean, how many people are on a college football roster now? Like 105.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the last two that I would pick on, but I don't know. He chose to do it, and it seemed to awaken them, which I don't know, man. They may have dominated that game anyway, but they sure noticed that they dominated. Let's put it that way.
Well, you can always tell someone who's never been to prison when they espouse the go up to the toughest guy in the prison and punch him in the back of the head on the first day, and then no one will mess with you. And it's like, I don't think it works that way.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I think you get stabbed to death, actually, is probably what would happen.
But those two guys worked it. I mean, they just flat out worked. I mean, the whole defensive line played really well, but those two.
What's crazy, Sweat and Murphy were awesome. When I rewatched the game, I didn't realize how much Collins played really well, too. So
Collins may have played his best game. Would you agree with that?
It was up there because it was like the old days of wrestling where you'd have the tag team. And then as the guy's beating someone's ass, he's still holding the guy by his hair and he reaches and gets the tag and that guy jumps off the rope on him. And that's the transition. I feel like that's the transition from Sweat to Murphy to Collins in that game. It was not a good day for the Iowa State offensive line.
No, not at all.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room here. There's a lot of things that are great in that game. Obviously a great road win. We thought it secured a Big 12 title berth. It did not, or maybe it did. The Big 12's not sure.
So they're going to issue a revision on Tuesday that we're in.
Yeah, we have to beat Texas Tech by 31 by their tiebreakers or something. But the elephant in the room for me was the inside routes, the slants, sort of the scab that Iowa State kept picking on. And I understand there's people saying there were 16 points on the board. They only scored 16. I get it, but I think it's more, why are we having career days for guys like Rocco Becht, Josh Hoover, Will Howard, right? Yeah. All in the second half. Rocco Becht in the second half was, I believe, 14 of 15 for 214 yards.
He was Tom Brady.
He was Tom Brady. Like on HGH,
the only third downs they didn't convert were absolutely massive effort plays.
Yeah.
From our guys.
Agreed.
Really. I mean, tackle at the sticks that jars the ball loose and fiddles it around. I think that was in the second half. I can't remember. And they, credit to the replay officials. they got it right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a common theme of the game, but it took really, really good efforts from individual players to stop it, which is great. They made the plays, but it'd be one thing if it was, hey, we played Iowa State this week and we decided that we were going to allow them to have that. And if they wanted to capitalize on it, that's great. But this is a recurring theme for 2 years now.
So to give you a little ammunition, just objectively beyond just our eyes, on attempts between 0 to 9 yards from the scrimmage, from line of scrimmage, not far, Becht was 17 of 19 for 170. 14 of the 17 were inside the hash. So just quick, big picture football. You don't want to allow quarterbacks clear pictures on inside releases, inside the hash, 0 to 9 yards from them, where not only do they catch it, but then they get 10 yards on average per completion. It's fine if they catch it for three. Who cares? Yeah. Like, hit the guy. Maybe he'll fumble. Maybe he'll volleyball set the ball in the air. Right.
And forever, I've kind of been in the camp of, I mean, there's got to be a reason to this, right? Like, maybe the inside guy's not covering it. No. At this point, it's just not.
There's a disconnect.
I hope it's not being played correctly. But if it's being coached that way, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, and look, let me talk to former high school quarterback Randy Boone here. Would you rather throw a ball short in front of you with the receiver breaking towards you, or would you rather throw the ball to a receiver breaking away from you, standing in the pocket at an intermediate distance?
Well, first of all, I'd have been told to audible to a toss sweep, regardless of what the. if anybody out there watched any of in high school when my head coach was there, then you would know that joke. But yes, in breaking route at you, much easier. Much easier.
I was just at the beach with my son throwing the ball around. He's wearing his Quinn Ewers shirt, by the way.
The angles just work better. Everything looks better to the eye.
I was going
to
say, I nailed all of his in routes, and he nailed all of his in routes. Yep. But when I tell him to break out and throw a little fade out near the beach water while he's not trying to not step on a jellyfish, I airmailed a bunch of those.
And the other thing too is, and it may be maybe this is a personal experience thing that I'm completely wrong on, but I always felt it was easier to find windows on in breaking routes because most of those are lower trajectory throws.
Yeah.
Typically. And I'm not saying windows in that you're afraid of having the ball batted down, but most of the time, I'll go ahead and make this point now too. The Ewers, his arms hurt, this deep ball thing or whatever. Like, if y'all watch when he releases the ball, like, it's just a timing thing. Like, they got to figure out the timing. Like, he's releasing the ball before. I tell you what, right now, if you get Ewers and Xavier Worthy runs as fast as he can down the sideline and you tell Ewers to throw it 60 yards, like, he's going to hit him in stride because he's going to see his path and he's going to hit him. What he's doing on the deep balls that we run is he's releasing the ball before the guy clears the back defender and they're probably still in their double move.
Yep.
So it's not an arm strength problem. Like, it's a timing issue or whatever, like that get off the tangent or whatever, but seeing the in breaking stuff, you can find a window or kind of like, you know, maneuver yourself around a little bit. Anything outside the numbers that you have to go up and over the outside, there's people in the way, you got defenders you got to get over. It's a much more complicated throw.
Do you recall Rocco Becht's one interception?
I do. It was a great play by Jaren Thompson.
It was. The route was an outbreaking route, whereas an intermediate route where Rocco Becht had to layer it in with a little zip if he wanted to get it in there. He doesn't have that kind of arm.
No.
And Jaren Thompson made a nice read, did a great job getting the pick, but it's exactly the kind of route you want a quarterback like that throwing and how you will turn him over. But if he's throwing stuff right in front of him, and a lot of those were RPOs. Some of them were not, but a lot of them were RPOs, and that was clearing out the linebackers. We were clearly not going to let them run, and maybe even to a point of overkill. But
probably.
Those were clearly routes Becht was very comfortable throwing, because I thought he did a beautiful job throwing them all. I mean,
what, he hit one outside pass? Decent,
Yeah,
decent little go route, fade route, whatever you want to call it, up the
well,
sideline.
and there was a push off, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean,
I'd rather give that up.
every time.
I mean, what Rocco Becht to an Iowa State receiver is going to complete that at what? A 20% clip, maybe? My kid can go out there and throw a slant route.
Yeah, so it's a repetitive thing that's interesting to me because it's something endemic to our defense, which is, hey, we're gonna run our defense. And you kind of say, hey, their offense is really simplistic. If you just took away these two staple routes or these two things, I'm not sure they can run their offense on our defense at all. And I think our defense is gonna swallow them up because and we don't do that. I think it's more like we don't want to alter what we do. And it's like, well, this is not much of an alteration to have someone play inside leverage and deny this route.
People have done it to us all year.
Yes, and they're allowed. And the other thing that's interesting is it allowed that to become their running game. Because our defensive line was just chewing them up. They ran for 9 yards. Their longest run of the game, Randy, was 6 yards. I mean,
Oh, in the handoff game, I mean, it was complete domination. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's the whole Mike Leach thing, right? I mean, hey, we ran the ball twice, but we threw it 75 times. But you're moving the ball at 4 and 5 yards a clip on those little like short in-breaking curls, this and that, whatever. And you're still allowing the yards. I mean, you can divvy it up however you want to, but it's still happening.
So I'll get off this. I mean, it's happened. It's just something I'm going to point out, and I will point out that Texas Tech is a slant heavy, crosser heavy, RPO heavy offense, and they do like to run the ball. And when they get tired of running the ball and getting 3 yards, I think you're going to see some of that, a steady diet of that. Now, maybe we'll have something for them. You know, the beauty of having a tendency is when you break tendency, people freak out because they're not accustomed to it. But yeah, I mean, it's
And
why I told you.
I'll say this as well. Like, to your point, I'm not belittling the fact that they scored 16 points.
Right. Because we
It's
dominated everything else, right?
but
That's the point.
it's just things that you see over and over again become frustrating.
Also, I think we could have held them to 6 points.
I agree, hundred
I mean, that's
percent.
kind of how I felt about the game. And so, you know. Good, better, best. Never let it rest, Randy. I learned that in kindergarten.
Who said that, Gabe?
That's right. That's an excellent segue. What a setup. You're becoming such a pro. Gabe, he's referring to, of course, as Gabe Winslow, mortgage man extraordinaire. Hey, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but interest rates creeping down from their all-time highs might be an interesting time if you are in the market, if you're someone who put things on hold because you're like, dude, I'm not dealing with these rates and let's see what happens. Now might not be a bad time to take a look and assess your situation. And you could do that with Gabe Winslow, really good at what he does. You can reach him 832-557-1095. Whether you are reading the reviews that are posted spontaneously on Inside Texas, whether you're listening to some of the emails that I've read from people who've written in who are really happy EGAT listeners who've used Gabe, or if you're just going to his Google reviews, the guy's got 90 something Google reviews, all of them organic and authentic, basically extolling his virtues and talking about how the repeated theme in all of these is service, problem solving. I had a unique situation. Other mortgage guys couldn't solve it. Now I'm in my dream house. And that's the recurring theme in all of these. Plus, he's just a good dude. Give him a call, really sharp at what he does. 832-557-1095. And then if you want to go macro level and enhance, as they say in Super Troopers, there's a guy who can help you at a higher level of finance. And that's David McClellan, not just your mortgage. Although David probably has sage advice in pretty much anything financial, he is a fiduciary financial analyst and consultant, and really a coach. Deep experience in the industry, deep experience as a financial planner, partner at financial, Forum Financial, I should say. And you can reach him at 312-933-8823. If you're in the process of building wealth, or if you are in the process of preserving and increasing your wealth, David's a guy you should talk to. Randy, I always say men tend to overestimate themselves in a few areas. One of them being their athletic ability, particularly as they get older.
Never. No.
I had that experience today on the beach as I thought I might go into a real sprint and impress my son. And then I realized my hamstring would be a governor on that ambition. The second part is your financial acumen. A lot of guys, if you talk to them, they'll kind of tell you they're sharp and squared away financially. And then as you talk to them, you realize that that may not be the case. So David's a guy you can bounce some stuff off of. He's offering free consultations. Give him a call. 312-933-8823. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate the segue. Anything else about Iowa State, Texas we want to talk about? Look, happy to be 10-1.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I kind of appreciated the pettiness at the end.
What did we do that was
our,
petty?
With our, no, I'm just saying the Twitter stuff and all that. Like,
oh yeah,
I kind of like it when we go there. You know, get away from the
white knight bullshit.
Oh, we're too good for that. Like, no, we're not.
I do want to strangle.
So I mean, I appreciate the downplaying it during the week, but yeah, let it eat afterwards.
So there is,
tell them about it.
I do have a little UT to me in that, like, I liked that your baseball teams didn't celebrate anything but big things, yeah, right? You guys aren't like, you know, dogpiling the pitcher because you beat A&M in College Station. You guys all cheer, high five each other, go hell yeah,
yeah,
and then you act like you were supposed to, right?
Right.
That said, if we win the Big 12, I guess this doesn't really apply because we'll be in Jerry World. I don't mind us rushing the field, or, you know, if you win a playoff game.
Ooh, right? I'm anti rushing the field at all times.
Really?
All times.
I think it's fun if you have a huge victory.
Yeah. We should never, ever have one.
Okay. We should never just celebrate. It was always expected.
No, I'm not saying it was expected. I'm just saying.
This is the Aussie training coming out in you.
I'm out on all rushing the field stuff.
My point is people get very judgy about that.
Go sprint to the bar and maybe you'll become the bouncer at the end of the night if your cards are played right.
Do you recall when the Texas fans rushed the field in Kyle Field and there was big brawls and do you remember that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where I come from. Huh? It's like,
that's kind of awesome. Rushing someone else's field. That's hilarious.
Someone else's field. I might be on board with,
especially a sacred field.
Yeah. But no, I'm a little different than most people on that one.
Keep your
ass in the stands.
All right. I was trying to find that middle ground between the Augie, you could only celebrate a national title, versus, you know, let's have a little organic celebration.
We may not have a dogpile, but we celebrated the wins.
All right. God, what a freaking robot. Freaking New York Yankee over here.
That's right. That's right. Act like you've been there before, Paul. Act like you've been there before. We haven't been there in a while, but still act like it.
You know what? I would have been the guy if I somehow would have scored a touchdown in high school. I would have done the Billy White Shoes Johnson crossing legs. I would have tried to jump in the stands.
You're gonna go run stadium stairs in the stands with the ball.
That's right. I would not have calmly flipped it to the official like you did and then strode off like you were bored.
Yeah, wasn't a whole lot of times that I was in possession of the football when we scored. Maybe on a quarterback sneak or two, but that's about it.
There you go. When you were running behind the 174-pound center.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Aggies, rushing the field. We both said we're going to travel a long distance. A lot of names are going to be talked to, and it's all going to come back to Traylor and Elko. Are we back? Are we at that point? Is that what happened? Are we soothsayers on this?
Yeah, unless something random happens, I think that's probably your two guys.
You think they're getting Belichick, bro?
I don't.
Okay, well, that's fine.
But I would I would chip in
for Bill Belichick to coach there.
Just to see him go to one press conference.
I want to see him at one midnight yell, handed the microphone.
No, that'd be pretty
guy,
that'd be, yeah,
a guy
that'd be
wearing
pretty funny
overalls
too.
That says, "Hi, I'm Corey" on the overalls. Or,
yeah,
you
that'd
know.
Be pretty funny too. But no, if, yeah, just to have him go to one press conference and have somebody question him and just have him look at him like, "Do you know who I am?" Like, won 27 Super Bowls.
Did you enjoy the idea from the authentic Tex Ags thread from Tex Ags that got circulated around that Lane Kiffin is a good coach? He's a promising coach. He's disrespectful to A&M, though, Randy, and he's immature. So what if A&M hired him and then made him go through core cadet training? What do you think about that? Is that a good idea? You did you see this? Didn't
no.
I forward that to you?
I did not see this.
How could
if
I
you
not
did,
have
I forgot
that
about
to
it.
You? If I didn't, I've made a grievous error.
You might have. I could have. I mean, there's a very good chance that I forgot.
Because Randy's
about it.
Pretty laid back, but there's occasional things that upset him enough that he might actually lose sleep if he saw something like that.
That's hilarious if that's a real thing.
Yeah,
that
it was a real thing.
That.
And there are guys chiming on the thread with like, "Good bull," like, "Amen."
Hey, I'd hire him if I were. I'd hire him if I were them.
He won't take the job.
Oh no, I got a buddy at work. It's a A&M guy. He's like, "We'll never do it," but I'd take him because he's so off the radar and completely different than what we've done in the past.
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe it's the answer, and it would
true.
Be entertaining. It'd be entertaining as hell.
It would be incredibly entertaining.
Because he would have even more of a platform than he has now.
Oh, no doubt.
And he would go nuts. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss is fine. He's done a fine job there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's a backwater compared
yeah,
to...
Yeah, you're limited to... Yeah.
What is it, the 10th best job in the SEC? Like...
Yeah. Yeah, no. You're,
I mean, because
yeah,
there's people...
You're severely capped.
Yeah, I agree. Are you as capped as Auburn?
I spent... No.
You lost 31-10 at home in Jordan-Hare to New Mexico State and Diego Pavia.
That's fine. They still have national titles.
They do, but Randy, this was not a fluke.
No.
New Mexico State beat their ass. They doubled them up in yardage.
Jerry Kill is a good coach.
He's a great coach.
And unfortunately, he got caught up in some health stuff. But, I mean, if he's still at Minnesota, they, like, sorry, PJ, and your boat, but I mean they're probably like in the running for the Big Ten title every year.
You know
like the dude can coach football.
You know where Kill's originally from?
Youngstown State. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
Well, that's a good
everybody's
guess.
From Youngstown
odd.
State.
I thought you were gonna say Emporia State. No, Kansas. Yeah. So if one
what
of the
town?
Light I don't know. Who cares?
Come on, man. You can't ask the question and not have the answer.
Every town in Kansas is the same town. Doesn't matter. Topeka.
No. No. Lawrence and Manhattan are very different.
Okay. Well, good point. that's how, like, look, if one of the if Klieman or Leipold get hired away, I'm going to Jerry Kill. That's who I'm calling.
Oh, at whichever school loses the coach?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
Winfield.
Yeah,
oh, Winfield. Sorry. He played at Winfield.
Yeah, that's sort of the Yoakum of Kansas.
I have no idea where he's from. Cheney.
Yeah. Well, Cheney's like the Cuero.
It's right next to Winfield, I'm sure.
Big rivals.
Yeah. He had to go to a city council meeting and tell him that he was going to take the job
at a junior high gymnasium. You've been at a few of those.
School board meetings are
amazing.
They're fun, Paul. They're a whole lot of fun.
Good stuff, man. yeah, that was it. Was you know, were you surprised at how tight Kansas kept the Kansas State game?
No, I actually picked them to win.
Really? With their third string walk-on true freshman quarterback starting?
I thought if Bean could play, they'd win. Then it came out late that he couldn't or wasn't going to. And I moved a little bit off it, but I'm going to sound stupid for saying this because they're probably going to play us in the Big 12 title. and beat us. But I just wasn't that impressed by Kansas State.
Yeah.
And I think Klein is a great coach. I'm more impressed with what Leipold's doing than what he's doing currently. Let's put it that way.
I agree with you. I think
and you have Klein basically, in my opinion, hamstring him last year by playing the wrong quarterback.
Oh, when they went Adrian Martinez for too long?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, well, there's a lot of that. It happens.
Oh, no. But I don't, if I had to pick between the two, I'd take Leipold. Just
think,
and I don't think Klein's a bad coach by any means. I just, well, there's some curious things that.
Think what USC could have accomplished if they'd benched Caleb Williams and picked the right quarterback at the beginning of the year. They went 7-5 with Caleb. You put the right guy in there, you go 10-2. Rely on your defense, run the ball.
I checked their roster because it may be an I don't know if it's an inside Texas post or not, but they mentioned about their defensive recruiting. Like, I am bigger than 75% of the defensive linemen, which is not, I'm not real proud of that, but what are you recruiting to? Like,
I don't know. It's bizarre.
They're tiny.
Yeah, they're tiny. And you could tell when they
were. And not good as well. Yeah,
there's like tiny and awesome and like super fast and physical. And then there's tiny and not so impressive, right?
I never paid attention to it really because I just enjoy watching them lose just because Riley seems like a smug, I'm better than you type guy. And I don't know anything about Grinch, but I finally, like, I was like, well, obviously the defensive coordinator change didn't really help them. And I started looking at them like, they don't have any players. It's crazy.
It's weird. It's weird to see a major program like USC with unfettered access to the best athletes in SoCal, right?
I mean, they got dog walked by a guy that everybody was talking about getting fired the week before.
Chip.
And now they flipped it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, USC's 7-5. That's wild. Think about their preseason expectations.
They got a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback.
Yeah. And he's going to be the number one draft pick still.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. He will
be. Nuts.
It is wild. It is not expected. You got kids.
I don't know. It's crazy.
You got kids coming in, hanging out.
Yeah, I got up to. An eye over here. I also have a
hovering.
Also maybe in a tight fantasy football battle with a coworker that I need Devontae Smith or AJ Brown to catch like two more passes. I mean, good shape.
It'll happen. Don't you worry. AJ Brown, he'll always come through for you. Yeah, that's really interesting. So let's talk about Texas Tech, man. You want to beat this team?
Yes.
Ditto.
Like, I literally want to suit up and beat this team.
I respect your athletic ability, Randy, and your history. And
yeah, I don't think I'm much use.
I don't think you're going to help us much.
No, maybe. You need this money to.
Maybe you could be a hockey goon and go out there and injure Baron Morton and then run off the field.
Decoy somebody or something, run around like an idiot. But I don't know. Running is probably not in my strong suit anymore either. But no, yeah, no, I mean, there was a mention of potential letdown going in this week. And, oof, man, I don't see that being a possibility. Whoever said that, it's a national guy that, you know, of course, is super clued into everything they say.
Yeah, of course. So but, your mark was a names. Disappointed, I'm sure, by the result. Is he going to live up to his word and be in Austin on Friday?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, it's only a Big 12 game on Friday, right?
TCU plays OU.
It's the only Big 12 game that matters, right?
Okay, there you go. Good restatement. Do you think that Texas will take our idea and seat him in the student section after announcing him before the game and put a camera on them and say, please, everyone stand and welcome the commissioner of the Big 12, Brett Yormark.
Can we put him in one of the, like, the chairs that the cameras used to be on? You know, like on the sideline where he's like 30 feet above the field of play and he just like is on a train rail back and forth. We just put him on the train rail back and forth and never turn it off. So he just goes back and forth the whole game, regardless of what's going on in the game. Like he just goes from the 10 to the 10 the whole time.
And you issue paintball guns to the crowd?
Even better.
It'd be like the hunting game where you, as the elk is drifting off the screen, you hit it and it dings and it goes back, right? I'd like it.
I'm in. Let's do it. I think he shows up. I really do.
I think we did that some pledges when I was in my fraternity. We had him walk on the upper catwalk and then we'd shoot him with a paintball gun. They had to return like that video game. We didn't haze anyone. I'm just kidding. That's all
never blown. That would never have happened.
I don't like the Big 12. I don't like Yormark and I don't like Joey McGuire.
I was kind of ambivalent about the whole Big 12 thing until he came on board. And now it's just like, just get me the hell out of here. Like, I don't want to say that everybody needed to like kiss the ring on the way out, but have some self-awareness.
Well, there's a lot of fevered articles and editorials being written in the Lubbock Avalanche Journal or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they're about to take over the world.
Basically talking about how Texas is now scared to play Texas Tech anymore. And
petrified.
Both teams benefited from the rivalry. One, there's not a rivalry. Two, we didn't benefit from it.
That's an interesting take.
But other than that, carry on.
Yeah, other than that, why wouldn't we?
Other than the premise of your article being wrong and your article being poorly written and all of its assumptions incorrect, well done. It's really weird to see the delusional. Like, I think, I don't know if you ever saw the podcast I did with Bobby about the TV ratings.
Oh, yeah.
That basically Sam Houston State, UTEP, being closer to several of the Big 12 TV ratings than any Texas or OU game. And that is going to continue. The beatings will continue until morale improves. And by the way, you got a new revitalized Arizona coming into the Big 12. Utah, obviously, will probably rally and not be
injured. Hey, Rising's coming back.
Rising's coming back for his ninth year. Have you seen the Rivals clip of Will Levis, Cameron Rising, and I think there's one other quarterback I can't think of. They're all in the same class. So the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans.
It's crazy.
And Cameron Rising. I mean, so I guess Rising ultimately got his draft assessment and he realizes another year of NIL is how he's going to get a down payment on a house, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think his knee's jacked. I don't know that he'd pass physical at this point.
No, I don't think he could play. But I mean, I hope he can. I'm pulling for him. He seems like a good dude.
No, I mean, hope he,
you know, good college player. But
I hope he comes back and tears it up next year, and then Utah wins the Big 12.
Hey, speaking of guys coming back, a little bit of an awkwardness at OU in some things. One, I don't think Jeff Lebby is going to be returning there.
Zero chance.
Two, I'm not sure Dylan Gabriel's coming back there, even though he would like to come back there.
He's coming back, Paul.
Yeah, well, I think he might. I think he also understands that NIL, another year of it, is his best way of maximizing revenue and not the NFL draft.
So whoever's in his camp did the smart PR move and got ahead of everybody else and saying, oh, I'm going to come back to Oklahoma. Before Oklahoma could say,
we love you, Dylan. Please walk on senior day, right?
Because if Jeff Lovey's not there next year and they run a different offense, I don't see it.
Well, here's the other.
I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. First of all, he's been hurt. Well, I mean, do you know anything about the concussion thing? Is he going to play this week or is he?
Where does he play? What school does he play for?
Yeah, you know he's playing. You're right.
Okay. Did we even have a discussion?
No, that's stupid. That was like that was a dumb statement by
that's
me.
That's like saying Dylan Gabriel punched a girl in a bar. Is he going to
be suspended? Yeah.
So. Like, surely he'll be suspended.
I forgot what I was talking about for a second.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
what a, wow.
Forgive me. Forgive
you're
me.
usually like the clear-eyed realist cynic.
Yeah.
It's
Forgive me on
interesting.
that one. But no, it would not surprise me if he ends up playing quarterback at BYU next year.
Well, here's the wild thing. Lebby, we're pretty sure, is gone. We're pretty sure that Luttrell will replace him, right? Lebby has the relationship with Jackson Arnold. And the fear at OU is that if Jackson Arnold is not the starting quarterback next year, it's all but guaranteed he'll be the starting quarterback for whatever team Jeff Lebby is coaching in 2024.
I don't know that the team that Jeff Lebby is going to be coaching can pull Jackson Arnold.
You think he'll be at an Incarnate Word?
I don't know where he's going to be, but I...
Is he going to be at UTEP?
That was not the reason that he's not going to be at OU was not very well received by not only OU people, but the world.
I will say this, the Briles stuff. So look, the Briles stuff is all bad. Like, just like, I'm not even discussing the disregard that he had for human beings, but it's not as big a deal outside of the Big 12.
You think so?
Yeah, other than like a few national writers who always kind of get hysterical about everything.
Okay.
It's like, if you talk to SEC people, they're like, why isn't Art Briles coaching? Because it's SEC, right? They're just like, our coaches have done much worse, right? I mean,
yeah, so, maybe so.
I mean, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm just saying that.
No, I understand. I just...
It's a particularly toxic thing for Texans and Big 12 teams in specific.
You're probably right.
I don't think it's as big a deal at like NC State. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, I mean, I'm not saying Art Briles is coaching tomorrow, but I don't think Jeff Lebby being your offensive coordinator. I mean, by the way, Kendall Briles was the offensive coordinator for TCU. A Baylor rival.
What was?
Was. But he's linked to Art Briles, right? Specifically.
How?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, I just, like I said, the people and the things that I've heard that didn't sit very well, because not because of the situation, but because it was kind of more of a direct violation of orders, I guess, so to speak.
Well, and he was bitchy about it too when he was
talking. Yeah, he didn't handle it real well at the,
yeah,
on the back end. So I don't know, you could be right. He may be the head coach at Ole Miss after Lane Kiffin takes another
no job. No, I don't think he's gonna be the head coach. I think he's gonna be an OC. You just twisted all this. Oh, I guess you're right, Paul. He'll be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Great job. You're quite the analyst. I'm glad Inside Texas hired you, Paul.
Yeah.
No, I think he can be a USFL coach, and Jackson Arnold could go pro. USFL doesn't exist anymore. What's that league called? The other one. Not the,
yeah.
Is it the XFL? No.
I don't know. I think it's gone. I don't know. I don't keep up.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Why am I trying?
I don't care. Whatever.
He's going to be coaching the Frankfurt Galaxy.
He's going to be the defensive coordinator at USC next year. We'll just put it out there. Everyone gets a trophy podcast, predicts it correctly. Jeff Lebby, defensive coordinator at USC next year.
Who might be the defensive coordinator at USC?
Todd Orlando.
No.
Oh, man.
You haven't heard? Are you messing with me? You haven't heard this?
No, I'm not. I haven't heard this.
Durkin.
Yeah. I can see that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess I could see it. It's not a good thing if you're
I can tell you where he's not. I can tell you where he's not going to be the defensive coordinator next year.
Texas A&M.
Correct.
Thank you. Oh, goodness.
The only school that I'm more confident that DJ Durkin will not be the defensive coordinator next year than Texas A&M is Maryland.
That's a very good point. Well done.
So you're welcome for that horrific insight, Paul.
This is the kind of analysis people tune in for. Thank you, Randy. Hey, I do want to talk about the Aggies and LSU because that's the final game of the year. LSU wants to win the Heisman Trophy.
Oh yeah, 100%.
For their quarterback.
Absolutely. Oh yeah.
A&M staggering a little bit, struggled a little bit with Abilene Christian.
Yep.
But did you see the Aggie press release about their record against Texas teams?
Well, they won, so I'm sure they promoted it.
And they've been playing Tarleton State and Abilene Christian.
Yeah.
And so they had this release of like, we're 17-0 since Texas beat us in 2011 or whatever it was. So stupid. And they've been playing Texas State. They've been playing like,
it's just such a weird,
like Aggies. It's so funny because all the Aggies I know that are normal see stuff like that. And they're as irritated by that stuff as anyone else.
I wasn't aware of that promotion, but yeah, that would
be. They do stuff like that all the time. The Lane Kiffin, let's send them to the Corps Cadets training. It's good stuff.
You know they're going to figure out a way to beat LSU, right?
I mean, here's the thing. If LSU can get up, they will continue to try to score for four quarters.
Absolutely. Oh, no. They're
Brian Kelly wants to salvage this season and get Daniels the Heisman, right? Off of a sheer statistical bludgeoning of like, look, he scored 9 touchdowns against A&M, right?
Yep.
But you're exactly right. This is an Aggie character of you blow the entire year, and then you go to Baton Rouge, and like, because Jimbo's gone, you just open everything up and just play ball, and you win with their third string quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, LSU's defense isn't that good.
They're horrific.
Probably more correct statement, but I wasn't going to go that far. With not knowing what A&M's capable of on offense, but man, if you had I'd prefer their the back end to be as good as the front end against Daniels.
Yes, I still think LSU will win. I think it'll be high score.
Yeah, you're probably right, but it wouldn't surprise me if they just play out of their minds and you're sitting there in the middle of the fourth quarter like, well, yeah, here we go.
It would be a very Aggie thing to do, right?
Yep.
I mean, also Auburn, a similar team.
Same thing, absolutely.
Like, get your ass beat by New Mexico State and then take Bama down to the wire somehow.
Yeah,
right?
No, it's going to be a 6-point game in the middle of the fourth quarter, which
so stupid.
I have a tougher time believing that one than the A&M one. But
why do we pull for college age?
It's
sports?
Weird.
It's so stupid.
We had this conversation. It's like, oh yeah, no, I definitely want my paycheck to rest upon the shoulders of an 18-year-old
19-year-old
that we've never seen play against somebody that's as good as he is.
That's right. It's funny. Well, hey, speaking of that, Texas Tech. People were, you know, saying, hey, I can't wait to read your preview of Texas Tech. And I was like, yeah, I can't wait to read my preview of Texas Tech because which team? Like, you play 12 games in the regular season in college football, and Texas Tech has rolled out a different team every one of their prior 11 games to Texas.
I was going to say, normally, I if you said that, like, week-to-week basis, I would direct people to your preview.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like, first of all, it's been so long ago since I read it. But I'm pretty sure that whatever we thought about them back then has changed 7 times since then.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we got a different quarterback and then a different quarterback again, and the starting quarterback's in the transfer portal. And what you thought they were going to be is not what they are because they hand the ball off to the running back 30 times a game now in the last 4 weeks. It's like, I don't know what we're getting up against
now. And the backup, Baron Morton, was acknowledged as a superior passer and talent to Tyler Shuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he could supplant him, it would be air raid revisited and Tech's going to throw for 350 a game. And Baron Morton is now a game manager who hands the ball off to Taj Brooks and then throws off a play action. And then on defense, like, to give you an example, they have their leading tackler last week was a freshman linebacker. He's going to sit out the Texas game so he can preserve his redshirt. That's the plan so far.
No, it's I don't know. I don't know who we're playing on Friday. I
And
guess that's
beyond
my
the
point.
personnel, this is a team that took Oregon to the wire. I don't mean they kept it close. I mean, they had
No.
the ball driving to win the game at home, and then Tyler Shough threw a pick six. I mean,
I'm with you. I
and this is
don't.
the same team that got their ass beat by Wyoming and Laramie. This they
I don't
lost
know.
team lost to BYU, dude. With
Hey.
their third string quarterback, I get, but they still lost. We
Yeah, I
would
don't know. I don't
have
know what to say.
lost to BYU with our third string quarterback. We played them with our second string quarterback and won by what, 32, whatever it
Four.
was. Yeah.
We win every game by four, Paul.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
But no, man, I don't know who we're playing on Friday. Like
Yeah.
I don't I have no I don't know.
So here's my cowardly out. I'm going to refrain to what I wrote 3 weeks ago, which is every game down the backstretch is going to be Texas playing Texas.
Agreed.
Which is if we play to our standard, it doesn't matter what the opponent does. All the way from what? The TCU game, Iowa State, Texas Tech, and the Big 12 title. I'll throw that in as well. Whoever it is we play. If Texas beats Texas, if Texas looks in the mirror and masters Texas, there's no team that we're going to play until we hit the playoff, hopefully, he said. Georgia can beat Texas. I'm pretty sure. I've watched them and it was kind of scary. But that might be my cheesy out because, I do have some thoughts about Texas Tech and kind of what I think we'll see. I know they're going to blitz a lot. I know they're going to try to put Ewers out of the game. I know that for a fact.
I think they're going to blitz a lot, and there's, I know what they want to do on offense, and there's two scenarios for what they want to do on offense. One is, holy shit, we actually couldn't stop the run, and they handed it off to Taj Brooks 30 times, or we stopped the run, and they still handed it off to Taj Brooks 30 times just because they wanted to shorten the game, get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it's the latter.
I mean, if I'm Tech and I watch film of Texas over the last 3 weeks, I'm throwing the ball and I'm handing the ball off just enough to make our linebackers crash because Taj Brooks is good. He's a
He's a
legitimate
very good,
linebacker.
very good player. Very good player.
He's 235, 240, and he runs like a 5'10. Like he's hard to get
Yeah,
a handle on.
I'm hard RPO glances, slants,
Yes.
which is kind of their thing anyway, but
I mean, the thing is, though, Randy, if we jump that stuff early and Morton has to hold onto the ball, that offensive line will fold like a $2 suit.
so I don't know enough about them to speak intelligently on this, and I'll let you do it. So, receiver wise, are they burners deep? Do we have to worry about that? I mean, I know our safeties aren't exactly
They're a mix.
super foot speed guy, just
They've got the 6'5 dudes that win jump balls and physical you, and then they've got a couple of guys who can run. They've underperformed, frankly. But I think some of that's been the passing game not performing. I mean, Tech has not thrown the ball well this year. And that should have been, I mean, they were expected to be a 300 plus yards per game passing attack. So when they hand the ball to Taj Brooks, that's the best thing that they do. Jaron Bradley's probably their best receiver. Xavier White's pretty good. But, you're talking about receivers who they have a bunch of dudes with 300 or 400 yards.
Yeah, I just don't see a world where they can turn the ball or turn around and hand the ball off and be successful. But
If Taj Brooks carries the
never know.
ball 30 times, I'm assuming he's gaining 92 yards. Like, I don't.
Yeah, unless he pops one.
I don't think it's 30 for 160.
No, I agree.
So, I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
Their
anyone can pop a run.
run game is going to be. They're going to try and shorten the game. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, they're going to take the Iowa State approach and try to be more efficient at it.
They play at pace, though.
They do, but I think they utilize it a little more intelligently than just playing fast and or playing slow. I think they have a little bit of a feel for the game. Pace can mean not huddling and keeping your defense on the field and still not snapping the ball until there's 10 seconds left on the play clock.
It can mean a lot of things. It's also a crappy picante sauce.
This is true.
It's also a university.
New York City. Didn't know it was a college.
Get a rope. I don't know.
So I don't know. We just said a lot of stuff in about 15 minutes to say
we don't know.
I don't know what we're going to see. I don't like, normally I feel pretty confident about like what's going to happen. Like last week I was like, they're not going to run the ball. It's going to come down to Rocco Becht and being able to, and hell, I mean, threw for 300 something yards, but still gave up 16 points. I don't know what we're going to get.
Let's retreat strategically to our Texas needs to just play well, and then it won't matter.
Yes, you're right.
Is Xavier Worthy going to play?
I don't see any reason why he doesn't.
I mean, he was held out.
Yeah, but I don't. I think that was a precautionary thing.
Okay.
I don't have any inside information on that. You would be the guy that would have that. So
text Xavier and ask him. You're part of the fraternity.
I'm going to text Gabe.
You're part of the fraternity of UT athletes, Randy.
I'm going to text Gabe, see what he says.
Don't you guys have like a private forum that you can all sign into?
Yeah, everybody just goes in and they give me all the inside information. CDC tells me everything about everything.
Your username is Brooks Kieschnick, and they just assume.
Like, this is great. I don't even know who I am. Who's this Roger Clemens guy? The Rocket? Is that...
They've been, we've been telling Roger Clemens all of our stuff.
Yeah, no,
I don't know.
I see him playing just because I haven't read or heard anything about it being a serious injury, but could be wrong. Don't know.
We need him. Hey, can I go off on a little horseshit here for a second? So, Iowa State, not to revisit this, but the punt return with Worthy. Good officials. By the way, that was a block in the back. I get it.
100% not related to the play. Flag in your pocket and shut up and go back home.
Okay. So not only unrelated to the play and shut up and go back home, like you said, but now if you take a cheap shot on somebody behind the play as an official, that jeopardizes literally player safety.
100%.
I'll put the flag and I'll be that guy. And say, hey, man, you don't get to try to test me by cheap-shotting someone behind the ball carrier and then say, well, I dare you to call that back. I'll call it back. But he bumped him.
So I've always
mildly,
had a problem.
Like,
I've always had a problem with blocks on the back on punt returns because this guy did basically what everybody in the world has been
trained
to
back.
Do. You run down the field and you're like, oh shit, I'm out of position because I'm a shitty coverage guy and I ran past the punt returner. There's a guy about to hit me. Let me turn my back to him.
Yeah.
And yes, letter of the law, I get it. He hit him in the back, blah, 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 blah. But he was 15 yards. Well, he went 15 yards. He was 2 yards.
that was a little dramatic.
He was 2 yards behind Worthy already.
And incapable
it was
of
point.
Making the
it
play.
Was, it, no chance he's making the play. It was pointless. But
and
anyway,
and
like I said, No, he didn't shove him. He didn't do anything egregious.
He just
ran into him and was like, oh, probably shouldn't have hit him in the back, but I did. Sorry. But yeah, no, that whole thing has always been. I mean, I've seen it multiple times where it's like a guy setting up the wall and you're halfway down. You know, the returner's halfway down and the guy just like turns his back to him and he hits him. And it's like, no, dude, I'm like, no, it's not a block in the back. Like you just turned around. You're about you're about to get smoked in the chest and you spun.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, but I thought it was a pretty crappy call.
I think in protest, we just need to have a bunch of coverage guys run down backwards, like butt first.
Yeah.
And dare people to
just
block.
Backpedal.
Yeah.
Back
just
pedal.
Backpedal. Karaoke drill. Like, do the backpedal. and then just dare you to touch my butt, and then we'll all get flags.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. I hope we get up by enough in the Big 12 title game against somebody.
We can do that. That would be awesome.
Like, hey, here you go. And then I want to run one play, and it's called hold.
Yes, where everyone just where you tackles.
I just want you to tackle the defensive lineman. Yeah. Like, what are you going to do about it?
Unreal.
Speaking of callback touchdowns that were on questionable calls.
I mean, it was technically a hold.
Technically was hold. You're correct. It was technically a hold.
By the way, kind of created by Ewers.
And I want, yes, also true.
Right.
But I also watched us get drugged down by the back of our neck 4 times in the game.
Byron Murphy has ligature wounds on his neck. Like, have you ever seen Hang 'em High, the Clint Eastwood spaghetti?
I want to know how many jerseys that guy's gone through this year.
I mean, he needs the Earl Campbell tearaway jerseys
yeah.
from the 70s.
He would be without a jersey after 3 plays in the game.
Have you ever seen the old Clint Eastwood Hang 'em High spaghetti western? Yeah. So yep. The guys hang him, but they hang him unsuccessfully, and he has those permanent scars on his neck, and mm-hmm. he always has his kerchief around it, and when he's about to kill one of the dudes, he's like, next time you hang a man, right? I think this is a good opportunity for Byron Murphy to track down all of his assailants over the next year or two.
Yep, absolutely.
But, yeah, unreal. All right, man, I'm out of juice. We provided no insight on Texas Tech. I think we've done our job.
Yeah, I think we. Yeah. Hey, we don't know what we're getting into Friday. Y'all buckle up and hang on and enjoy it with us.
And you're not going to be in Austin to pull for Texas.
No, I'm not going to make it.
Unfortunate. Well, I'm going to be there because I'm a real fan. I flew down.
You are a real fan for the one game that you went to this year.
And you live an hour and 20 minutes away, and you can't get in your car and drive through Luling and Lockhart. And
well, first of all, if I drove through both of those places, I would stop and eat barbecue and probably get too full and have to
turn around. Just have to turn around. So. Would you go to Terry Black's? Where'd you go? Where would you go?
Ooh, yeah, probably. I don't know. Luling City Market's pretty good.
Never been to Luling City Market.
I'll tell you what, you walk in that place, you're going to smell like it, regardless of whether you think the barbecue's good or not.
I did hit Bucky's, which is obligatory thing today. I grabbed the barbecue chopped brisket sandwich.
Pretty good.
Got the big, pretty good.
It's pretty good. Luling City Market is going to trump that.
All right. All day. Interesting.
Well, mainly because you walk into a smoke room. And
all right. Well, we were going to, on our way back, I was going to stop and have lunch with you in Yoakum or Cuero, but now I'm going to go to Luling City Market and just skip you all together.
That's what I would do. I'm not that cool. The barbecue's better. Note,
something all of us can agree on, Randy Boone, not that cool. Me neither.
You're right.
That's why we're potting together, folks. Hey, for Randy Boone, I'm Paul Wadlington saying beat the hell out of Texas Tech. Hook 'em.
That's right. Hook 'em.
Do you need a realtor in Central Texas? Of course you do. We all need a realtor in Central Texas, even those of us who live in Dallas or Houston or San Francisco or Denver, Colorado. You need to go to Central Texas anyway. And the reason is Laura Baker is a fantastic realtor. She's great at what she does. She's a member of the elite Andy Allen team for Keller Williams. You can reach her at 512-784-0505. Talk with Laura if you're thinking about putting your house on the market. This is a great time to get market comps. If you're looking to buy in the market, you need all the help you can get. Call Laura and it's 512-784-0505.